You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. For about half a century, American cities and suburbs were built as car towns, with long stretches of road, sometimes no sidewalks. But lately, urban planners and, more importantly, Americans like to be a little more intimate. Millennials don't seem to want to buy cars or drive that much. And they're teaming up with some unlikely allies in the quest for more walkable cities. Retirees. As the baby boomer generation ages, more and more of them want to stay at home, stay independent, and be able to get around. To better understand what walkable cities mean to the aging population, I took a walk in Washington, D.C. Tori Goldhammer, an occupational therapist and fall prevention expert, came with me. And so did another special guest.
My name is Buck O'Leary. I'm your father.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
We are out at Eastern Market, which is an older part of the city in Washington, D.C. We've got a lot of brick sidewalks and some uneven streets, old trees. This is an historical neighborhood. And, Tori, tell me if I'm right here, but this seems like a place where you have a lot of different walkways for pedestrians that would be a little bit more complicated to navigate.
Yes, because it's a historical area, there are a lot of brick sidewalks, which is part of the historical feel of the city. And the bricks are notorious for coming up, for being uplifted by roofs, for being slippery when they become wet or if it's cold outside. So it can be a very difficult area to navigate. And the trees in particular seem to cause a lot of trouble in our neighborhood and a lot of the neighborhoods in D.C.
I want to take a walk and kind of get a sense of what this looks like, what it feels like, and what different options are for cities around the country as they deal with basically aging baby boomers.
So you can see here an example of, you know, we have the brick sidewalks here, and then they have some of the newer curb cuts that they've been putting in over the past few years. And what you'll notice about the curb cuts, which are the indentations at the bottom of the sidewalk, is that they have textured grooves in them so that they provide some traction as you're walking down them. And then they also have the raised bumps at the bottom, and these are for people with visual impairments, so they can use their canes. It's funny that I learned how important these are because I raised my daughter here in the neighborhood, and with the stroller, it's, you know, incredibly useful to have these curb cuts. So you sort of realize when you have a different stage of life that it can really be useful at all stages of life and for everybody.
Now that I'm here with you, I'm seeing, you know, here's brick sidewalk in front of us, and that looks a little scary.
It is. You know, and it really anything greater than a quarter of an inch in change of height can present a trip risk for anybody.
If you weren't walking with us, would you notice those?
Probably not. Probably would not have my eye out for that, unfortunately.
What do you think would happen?
I might go stumble and go splat in some ungracious way.
Never. You would never fall ungraciously.
I have.
And I think one of the problems is that as we age, unfortunately, we're more predisposed to falling. Your general balance is a little bit off. And so there's a combination of factors that make you sort of even more prone to these risks in the sidewalks. And now we're going on to this more concrete paver sort of area. And these tend to still work pretty well because the trees don't uproot these quite as much as they do the bricks back there.
How's this part for you, Dad?
Good. It's good. I mean, this surface, I can see where this surface is helpful.
This is easier than the brick?
Yes. Less chance of stumbling, you know.
Yeah, and you'll notice that when the main shopping areas of the city or the main tourist areas of the city, the sidewalks tend to be in very good shape. But as you get back into the neighborhoods where people live, it tends to get worse and worse.
We're in, I would say, a city that's probably kind of in the middle, right? I mean, D.C.'s got some spots that are really walkable, and then some spots where, gosh, you need a car to get anywhere. How does D.C. stack up to other cities?
Compared to New York, one of the nice things that New York has done is there's a lot more seating surfaces, which is actually like a huge thing for actually becoming an age-friendly
city. Yeah,
there's
nowhere for us to sit down.
There's nowhere to sit down.
We can't take a break.
No. So what we end up doing here in D.C. is if somebody needs to sit, we have to suggest that they have one of the walkers that has a seat on it. But then that gives them a sort of stigma. One of the other big issues that we face in the city as well, particularly here, it's a problem that the major thoroughfares, the time to cross the street is much shorter than it is to cross the side streets.
Yeah.
And hopefully there's an island or a median that you can stop and take a rest at, but often there's not. So there might be six lanes of traffic, and it's 22 seconds to get across the street, and it's really, really, very, very difficult. So that's another thing that we're trying to work on.
Dad, I'm going to put you on the spot.
What concerns you? You've got stairs that go up to your house. You've got stairs up to the second floor. You've got at least one dog who likes to take you out at the knees if she has the chance.
And she's done that.
Do you think about this stuff?
I do, yes, I do. I am the principal dog walker in our family, and one of our dogs is 2 years old, and she can really run, and she loves to run. And she loves to run close to me. And I have been felled a couple of times by the dogs. It's something certainly that's on my mind. And there are a lot of steps in D.C. that I find that have no railing. Sometimes, you know, that can present a challenge for somebody my age.
You're turning 77.
Yes.
How much does thinking about mobility weigh on you? Does it?
Yes, it does. I mean, I know that my balance is not as good as it once was. I do some exercises to try and maintain my balance, and that's great, but that doesn't cover the situation where a problem comes up in a very impromptu, sudden way, and you have to deal with it. That's when you're in danger of falling.
Hopefully, the individuals that are aging will understand the risks of fall as you age, what happens to your body, and that there are things that you can do to mitigate those risks. So sort of a combination of working with the city and making the environment safer, as well as helping the person understand what their own individual risks are and hopefully mitigating those risks, like exercising, as you were talking about. It's important to sort of look at the complete picture, looking at the person and the environment and the interaction of those two things and really trying to solve as many problems as you can.
Tori Goldhammer, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was very nice meeting you.
And Buck O'Leary, Dad, thank you.
Well, thank you, too.
To follow up on my walk, I spoke to one of the AARP lobbyists pushing for age-friendly cities nationwide. Her name is Nancy Lamond, and she's the executive vice president of the AARP. Nancy, welcome to Marketplace Weekend.
Thank you.
You know, I took a walk in Washington, D.C., my hometown, and also the city where you're based.
Yes.
We walked with an occupational therapist, and we walked with my dad, and I saw a variety of things. You know, some places where it's pretty easy, and then some places where the brick is uneven or the intersections are very wide and it's hard to cross. How do you go about fixing that? And how is it different in different parts of the country? I mean, Washington's a fairly urban place, but someplace like Los Angeles is a car town.
Well, we've done walking audits in over 40 cities and towns across the country. And just walk the city or the town block and look, as you and your dad did, at what's going on underfoot and around them. And there are a lot of commonalities. The environment may be different, but there are some of the same problems. All of these things are important to address, not only for older citizens, but also for younger.
How much money does it cost to make these kinds of changes?
Well, it depends. There are many places where there's a lot of construction underway, and they're already making changes to the physical environment, and ensuring that it's done in the right way often doesn't add very many costs at all. In other places, we have an example in Wichita, Kansas, where there was a vacant lot that the city was maintaining, and a group of our members came together, kind of looked at it and said, well, this would be a great place to have a park, and it's now called Grandparents Park. It's built with equipment for young kids and exercise equipment for grandparents. One thing we know is that the more walkable an environment or a community is, the more the value of the property is going to be higher. And so there is an incentive for communities to look at this in more than just safety and mobility of its residents. It's also a very good investment for property values.
It cannot escape the notice of the leadership of various communities that the AARP is the eighth largest lobbying organization in the country, and its members tend to vote, and vote pretty consistently.
Well, that's certainly true. And in local communities, I think what's even more powerful, frankly, than the vote every 2 or every 4 years is that our members tend to be participants in the community. They come to community meetings. They're very involved. And I think that's awfully important.
How much money are you all putting behind this campaign?
Well, at the moment, I'm not quite sure. We've been investing over the last few years, probably a couple of million dollars as we do our work across the country. But I think what's most important is not our investment alone of dollars, but the kinds of resources we're able to leverage, the volunteer time of our members, participation of other community groups representing all ages.
You really don't know the bottom line?
The bottom line for us? I think we've probably invested about $2 million.
The baby boom generation is retiring, and they are very large and very vocal. What are they telling you about the kinds of communities that they want to live in? And are they different from even people 10, 20 years older than they are?
Well, one thing they're telling us loud and clear is that they want to stay in their homes and in their communities as long as possible. What they're looking for in communities, I think, is what all generations are. They're looking for safe areas. They're looking for good housing, transportation, being able to be involved socially. They want to be engaged in a way that's meaningful.
Nancy Lamond, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And that brings us to the weekend number, 63. 63% of baby boomers intend to stay in their homes as they age. That's according to a study by the Conference Board and Nielsen. But a study from Harvard and the AARP says most homes will need some kind of modification to allow that to happen.